thankful for this new day that God has given us. Want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Great to see all these faces this morning. Thankful to God for the opportunity that we have to worship Him and to be together. Hope you had a wonderful holiday, good time with family if you were away and now back, or perhaps there's family with you here today. We're thankful for some visitors with us today as well, and just grateful for our God and the opportunity that we have. It's great to be with spiritual family to celebrate the first day of the week. This is the last first day of the week that we will enjoy in 2020. And maybe that feels like we should celebrate that too. But it is certainly good to be here and good to remember our Lord. We're thankful for that very, very much. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I hope will be an encouragement to us as we think about what we have in Jesus Christ. I was reading an article this week that came out that was originally in Forbes magazine, and it was about a young man that is age 9. And this young man's name is Ryan Kaji. And maybe you read this article, I'm not sure, but this young man at the age of 9 made more this year by a long shot than I ever will in my entire life. This young man has a YouTube channel on YouTube, and it's called Ryan's World. And what he does is that he describes different toys, different gifts that people give, usually around the end of the year. And so his whole channel is about describing these gifts. And he made $29.5 million this year off of doing that. It's hard to imagine such a thing as that. But all of that being made on the basis, that fame and fortune, on describing gifts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there is a gift that is mentioned that I want to talk about with you for a few minutes. The very onset of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is describing a physical gift. He is describing some things that are tangible. He is describing particularly a gift, a human gift, that the church in Corinth was sending to Jerusalem. And that being in a time of distress. And so he writes to them and he thanks them for their gift and he encourages them to see that through. In 2020, this congregation has been blessed with the opportunity of doing some of that as well. And thankful, I am thankful for your generous giving this year that has enabled us to help some folks benevolently in other countries and other places and even people here that needed it. And so Paul is writing about those kinds of gifts, and he's thankful for the people to whom he is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that would send such a gift to people less fortunate than themselves in the current climate and help them during that time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, he says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation." He goes on to talk about the way that we should give. And I think we've got some folks that give this way, many folks that give this way, with cheerful hearts, that don't give grudgingly, don't give of necessity. And he says in verse 6, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And then notice verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." I hope and pray that every week, week upon week, we do that cheerfully as we give to our God. And so we give gifts sometimes. And we can put those gifts into words. Paul does. He writes to them. He talks about it. He mentions some of those things to them. But then he shifts his attention from those kinds of gifts to the more important gift of God's Son. And he talks about in the upcoming verses, beginning in verse 8 and following, of the grace of God. and what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And he begins as best as he can to describe some of that and the benefits of that and what that has brought for them and the sharing that that has brought for them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he comes down in verse 15 and he wraps up this section thinking about these gifts and especially one. And he says in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." I want to talk about that gift for just a few minutes together this morning. It's something that I can talk about, but I can't really describe. Paul calls it an indescribable gift. In chapter 9 and verse 8, when God does something, He does it right. He does it completely. And in chapter 9 and verse 8, I think he tries to send that message to us, where this is all encompassing. Everything, folks, that we need is given to us in this one gift. It's the only thing that human beings have to have. There are a lot of things that certainly we can be given, but there is nothing like unto this. Notice what he says here. And God, who is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Don't miss all of those superlative kind of words. All, every, always. That's the gift that he talks about in verse 15. Paul describes Jesus in this way as an indescribable gift. Over in Psalms chapter 86 and verses 8 through 10, that is an indescribable gift because of who He is. Because of who He is indescribable. And we think about the fact that Jesus was God, as we read about in John chapter 1. And we talk about the divine nature of God. The divine nature of God would certainly indicate that that gift of Jesus Christ was divine in its nature. In Psalm 86 and verses 8 through 10, there is this description of God. And he describes God there and that there is nothing like Him. Psalm 86 and beginning in verse 8, he says, "Among the gods, there is none like You, O Lord, nor are there any works like Your works." Now, he's using that word accommodatively there. There is only one God. But he says, if we're just looking at that in terms of human thinking, anything that could be worshipped, anything that could be exalted, anything you can give an accolade to, there is nothing like You, O God, nor are there any works like Your works. Verse 9, "All nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and shall glorify Your name. For You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." There's nothing to be compared with God. And usually when we're describing something, a lot of times we do it by comparing it with something else. And that's not able to be done when it comes to God. He is incomparable. How do you describe Jesus? How do you describe God in the flesh, Emmanuel, born of a virgin? How do you really put all of that into words? That which is spirit, when all that we have ever known is physical, all that we have ever known is material. And so that becomes indescribable to us. Because we are not of that nature. And we sing very appropriately a song that says, "You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard." How do you describe one that has all knowledge when we are so limited in our own? How do you describe someone or a being that is omnipotent when we are so infinitely impotent? That's a very difficult thing to do. It's an impossible thing to do. Paul says it's an exercise in futility. It is an indescribable gift. A council of men came together in 451 AD in Chalcedon, and they tried to describe Jesus Christ with all the most wonderful of minds that they could assemble in one place. And here's what they came up with when it came to describing these theologians, Jesus. They said, perfect in Godhead and perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body. Consubstantial, coessential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like unto us without sin. Begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead. And in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary and of the Mother of God. According to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten to be acknowledged in two natures. Inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Now, aren't you thankful that now you can understand who Jesus is? It's indescribable. He is an indescribable gift. And all the words of man, and all the vocabulary, and all the things that we can come up with won't begin to touch what He is. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 10, thankfully, due to Him humbling Himself, I can have some sort of idea. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 10, His nature is so unnatural to sinful flesh, we struggle to conceive of it. But He came to this world, humbling Himself, and because of that, we can have some picture, some idea as to who He is. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is indescribable because of who He is. When He came, we at least have some degree of understanding. But He is indescribable. He is indescribable, folks, not only because of who He is, but also, number two, because of what He does. And I am so thankful for what He does. What He does now as mediator is as a result of what He has already done as our Redeemer. And it's what He does that for us makes so much difference. What He did was priceless. You cannot put a value on that. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God could not have given you anything better than what He gave you. President Richard Nixon, when man landed on the moon, in a speech said this was the greatest moment in human history when man walked on the moon. But Billy Graham came out later, just right after that, and corrected him and said, no, the greatest moment in history was not when man walked on the moon, but when God walked on the earth. And isn't that the truth? What an indescribable gift. What a priceless gift that He gave. What a perfect gift that He gave. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 5 and verse 9, having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Mark 10 and verse 45. What a perfect gift. John was preaching. as Jesus came into the world, this perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Mark 10 and verse 45, Jesus says, I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. God knew what we needed. And what we needed was not more education, more wealth, or psychological help, or emotional aid, or universal health care. We needed the Son of God. And that was a perfect gift and a priceless gift that He gave. And that gift, furthermore, was given for me. It was given for me. It's personal in its nature. It's priceless, it's perfect, and it's personal. And it has to be that way. It has to be personal. He did this for me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And it was John that said, whoever believes shall not perish. It was done for me. And only I can open my heart to the gospel, and only I can render obedience to His word through baptism for myself. Only I can offer my life as a living sacrifice. It must be personal. There's no doubt about this gift that it was precious. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, He did not come to serve Himself or to accomplish His own will, but He did what He did for us. And it says there in 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7, therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. This gift, folks, affects us. It ought to affect us. It ought to change us in every possible way. It's just what we needed. And the gift that He gave affects what He made. It affects what we do. It affects how we give. It affects how we love. It affects everything about us when He lives in us, when we accept that gift of grace and we are obedient to Him. It changes everything. What a marvelous gift. We will give of our resources. We will give, 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 give. That's who we are by the grace of Jesus Christ. And giving is not easy. It certainly wasn't easy for the Lord, who sweat drops of blood on our behalf. Giving is not easy. In the face of uncertainty, when anxiety says don't do it, when fear surrounds us, we must keep giving. We are a conduit for the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The apostle said, I can't describe Him, but thanks be to God. There is clear air above where we are. And there is a plane to which we must ascend to get above all that we see and all that we experience in this life, the things that we can describe. That we can go beyond that which is descriptive, that which we can put into words, to something that we cannot. And there is this indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that you have come here today to see Him, to express your thanksgiving to Him. Don't make that a passing glance. Don't make that a one-time observation. But set your gaze on Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. It's the gift that keeps on giving every day Indescribable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 5, Paul talks about something else that for him was indescribable. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 5. And here was an individual that had an experience where he was lifted up and able to see things that other men had never been able to see. A vision here of paradise, of something beyond this world. It says, "It is doubtless not profitable," Paul says, "for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities." I don't know how to explain this experience that Paul had. He couldn't put it into words what he had seen, as he is taken and able to see paradise and to hear inexpressible words, things that he could not speak of, things that were too great, too high to even talk about. That's an incredible thing. And it's for that reason, no doubt, and what he understood about this gift that God made possible. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Inexpressible words and an indescribable gift. As Paul would think about that, as we think about that, we need to weigh some things. We need to take stock of some things. We need to make some right comparisons of things in our lives. What is it that matters the most to us? And when Paul took stock of the world, he recognized that there really wasn't any comparison. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8. And verse 18, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You put those two things together, there's no comparison here. An indescribable gift versus all of these gifts that we can so easily describe. Inexpressible words versus words that we can express and things that we can say. We've got to make that right comparison. Indescribable gifts. I hope you got some good gifts. I hope things came to you that you wanted. But let me tell you one thing. If you never got another gift in your life, if you never received anything else, God has given you everything you need for joy, inexpressible. To have something that is abundant and beyond everything that we could ever imagine. And it's found in Jesus Christ. May we accept that gift. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to do that. And we would certainly want to encourage you as we round out this year, as we finish out this last first day of the week. We would love to see that happen even today, where you would accept that wonderful, inexpressible gift, to be able to go to a place eventually where we can hear inexpressible words. Won't you do that this morning? If we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?